Hey, lovers and friends, I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is My Perfect Romance.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
What about all of you?
Or how about Massima?
I think we all have a different idea about what romance is.
Well, what is the perfect romance?
Gosh, I don't know, but let's find out.
No. Well, Courtney has been gone for like 10 days in Alaska, and she was kind of, when you went to the bathroom, she was telling me about like how nice it was to have somebody take care of her.
Oh, yeah. So tell me about your trip.
Well, I mean, Steve and Emily, who I interviewed, Steve is just the nicest. They're both nice
people. And you
people.
Stayed at Steve's place?
We stayed at Steve's. Steve and Emily have a condo in Anchorage. So we were just there for a couple of days, almost not even, it was a more of a transitional place. Mm-hmm. So we flew into Anchorage and spent the first night in Anchorage. And then we went to Steve's lake cabin on the Lake Louise.
Oh, beautiful.
It's three hours from Anchorage.
Okay.
Which direction?
I think it's north.
I would have no idea.
I know.
None of this makes any sense to me. I've never been to Alaska.
I was
didn't
born
study
there.
The geography. Yeah, it's true.
In Providence Hospital.
I forgot you were born in. Yeah. Dang.
But, you know, he just was, you know, schlepping our stuff around. Aww. He was cooking for us. And, you know, it just made it a much more relaxing vacation because he was really doing a lot of things, like a lot of little things.
Aww.
Yeah.
And we got done.
Yeah, we spent 2 days in Lake Louise, 2 days in Talkeetna, which is at the base of Denali National Park. And the first day we got there, we had a house that had the view of Denali and the whole mountain range. And so the whole time we were in Anchorage, except for 2 days, it was sunny, like 60s, 70s.
Oh, that's perfect.
It was beautiful. And this house we had that had the view, it was a clear day, so we could see the top of Denali and the whole mountain range. It was just spectacular.
Okay. What time did the sun go down? Because, like, you were there during, like, summer solstice,
two,
right?
Yeah, two, like 2:30
a.m.
Yeah.
And when was it back up?
Oh, like 4.
Shoot.
So when I was, I was born on the 3rd of July. And so there was actually fireworks going off while I was born. Because it was born 11:52 at night. So they start then on the 3rd going into the 4th because they want, you know, there's not darkness.
Yeah.
Well, shoot, Val, you should also give your social security number because... We know everything.
And my shoe size is an 8, 8 and a half.
Exactly what year were you born? And what's your address?
I'm just kidding. But
Steve and Emily are so in love, and they are so sweet. We were at Lake Louise. And Emily was just gushing about Steve and how they met. And I need to interview these two because they are.
I'm excited
so
to hear the interview.
I am so excited.
I've heard a little bit.
It was it clear?
It sounded like you were on the road, but it was like, it was good.
Okay.
It wasn't like the static we were just listening to. But we got it figured out, right?
Oh, yeah. So happy.
And then, so 2 days in Talkeetna, 2 days in, then we went back to Anchorage, 2 days in, I can't remember the name of
Juneau?
No.
Is that a place in Alaska?
Yeah,
I'm just
Juneau
naming random
place.
Places.
Palmer.
Yeah.
No.
Palmer. Yeah, no. Palmer. That's where my family's from.
No, it wasn't that. Fuck, I've been telling the story all week to my clients. And now I can't remember. 2 days there, and then 2 days in Seward, and then back to Anchorage.
Were you guys hiking or kayaking? What kind of stuff were you doing?
Yeah, just all of the above. It was busy. But the thing about it being lights... is you on vacation, you have no sense of time.
Oh, yes.
So,
that's true.
Yeah. You know, we were just going. And before you know it, it's 11 o'clock. We haven't eaten dinner yet. We haven't.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, oh,
yet.
You don't get hangry?
Well, it just is the weirdest thing.
I do. I know what time of day it is. Like, my stomach will. And I'm like, I bet it's noon. And I look over and it's like, yeah, it's time to eat. Like, I live by this. It's like, it tells me. It keeps me in line.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we were kind of eating and drinking all day. So
yeah.
It was kind of
nice.
Yeah.
Summer.
Yeah.
Summer vacation haze.
Yeah. So it was fun.
Have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how did you meet Steve and?
Emily is Molly's sister.
Oh,
and
cute
Molly,
is. And Molly's a doll.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So how long have Emily and Steve known each other?
4 years.
4 years. Oh, that's good.
And they met at Lake Louise. That's why they're kind of, reminiscing.
Oh, that's so sweet. But that's cool. I'm excited to hear that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Cool stuff. Well, anything else going on exciting? Because I haven't seen.
No, we had little guy up, and he's a doll. He's so sweet. I love that kiddo.
He's sweet.
Yeah,
well,
he's
so we're.
Do you want to talk about book?
Yeah, it's we're talking about It Takes a Village.
Look for my notes.
The book is written by Hannah Ellis, and it's. Well, I liked it. I thought it was a nice book.
Oh, I have like a half a page of notes, so.
Solid. It didn't get very far. The summary says, when a single dad, Leo, returns to his quaint English hometown to raise his young daughter, he never expects to find a connection with Caitlin, who is just visiting Hope Cove as a favor to a friend. Could their attraction produce lasting love? Find out in this charming listen.
Charming. It was charming because it was very British. Loads of charm.
So Leo and Caitlin are the protagonists, and
they're the love interests. Like,
yes,
they're the ones that are supposed to fall for each other.
Mm-hmm. But Lisa
but
has
do
other
they?
Feelings.
I always do. You guys, I'm such a fart.
You're a black cloud.
I know. I'm
kind of no.
You know, the other night when I was like doing all this work for these books and movie, I kept thinking, you know, when we used to talk about how long we think they're going to last, I was like, 25 to life. And I think about you. I'm like, what's Lisa going to say?
Like, I'm like, nobody wants me.
That's so funny.
Yeah, maybe you were a club. Yeah.
So the story starts with Leo and his best friend Hugh are going to the hospital, and you find out that he's there to pick up his daughter, who's just been born to a woman that he just kind of had a fling with. The woman Bethany does not want the baby, so Leo steps up to adopt this child.
Even though she doesn't want the baby, it's really important that she gets to name the baby.
Oh, yeah. Yes. That's a huge deal.
She wanted to name it something like...
Spring.
Grace Spring? Was
she
that
wanted,
one?
Yeah. No. Yes. Grace Spring.
Grace Spring, which
that's
is like
kind of
the name of a place. Super hippie sounding.
Yeah. And he wanted Alice, but then Alice Spring didn't seem to work very well. And then he really likes the middle name Rose, like after a relative.
Grace Rose?
Yes. Grace Rose.
Or Alice Rose.
Rose. But he really liked Alice, and Bethany liked Spring.
So they're talking about, like, what should we name the baby? And he says something about, oh, I really don't like seasons for names. And she's like, well, let me introduce my friend Summer. And he's just like, whoa.
and Caitlin is in the hospital.
Caitlin.
Yeah.
Caitlin was a friend, but she just went along with it to like
just
give her time and pick up on it. I thought it was funny.
And Caitlin kind of becomes this go-between because Bethany is really trying to step back from mm-hmm. maybe getting attached to the baby. And Leo is Caitlin's, it's easier for Caitlin to just like,
yeah,
be the go-between and yeah, figure it out. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, Leo takes the baby.
About this that I think is weird. Okay. Right out the gate. Like they mentioned that Caitlin is my best friend. Mm-hmm. And they hadn't talked for months and months and months. They were like really rocky. And yet she's asking Caitlin to do some major things for her.
Yeah, absolutely.
But now how long have they been friends though?
Several years.
Mm-hmm. They worked together.
They worked together pretty closely. And I think, was it Bethany that had moved here from Australia? But Caitlin was born and raised in England and like, grew up on a family farm mm-hmm. and was close with her family. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Bethany had kind of run from Australia. But yeah, I thought that was weird because I'm like, best friends.
Yeah, I kind of think about that too. You know, Bethany really was asking a lot mm-hmm. of Caitlin because she also asked Caitlin to go to Leo's home and give him some papers registering the baby's birth. So yeah, and that's huge. And like Bethany, and they're still at odds with each other. They're not really friends. You know, Caitlin wants to be friends with Bethany, but there's something we don't know yet why mm-hmm. their friendship is on the, you know, but not very unstable ground.
Haven't you ever had that happen though, when you have a friend who, you know, they are your friends. Like, mm-hmm. okay, we're not going to always get along. We're going to, you know, sometimes, and this, you know, something big came up with these ladies,
yes.
you know, and they did have something, which I know that you wish that they had like discussed this a little bit sooner, but they, you know, something, they did have a big issue. So they did have falling out, but they're still friends. Like you have that friend who you guys are kind of pissed at each other about something and then they get hurt. You're there. You know, it's like, okay, you need me. Our friendship is more than that. So that's actually, that's a nod towards being mm-hmm. best friends in a sense, because you're still there. Even when you're not getting along, you're still there, really.
You'll
there
still be their support person when they
really need it.
Well, I think that Caitlin just keeps hoping that, you know, by doing these things for Bethany, Bethany will forgive her. Mm-hmm. And they'll make amends. But
forgive her for what?
Yeah.
I like how mysterious the relationship
was. It is mysterious. What could she have done?
Ooh, so horrible.
No.
But yet not so horrible.
Right.
The perfect amount of horrible.
Yes.
So Caitlin goes to Leo's house to kind of spy on, you know, him and report back to Bethany. Just, I think Bethany wants peace of mind that the home is a decent place, that he's mm-hmm. doing a good job. But there's a connection with Leo and Caitlin
right off the bat.
Yes.
Star
flying literally everywhere. The house is going to burn down.
Yes, and at this point, he realizes that her name is not Summer.
Yes, yeah. So
he invites her in, and they chat. And I think the story does a good job of portraying what it would be like to be, you know, a single man with a baby, because he's exhausted. He's putting in so much time. Mm-hmm. This is all new to him. So he's really loving any, like,
he doesn't know how he's just figuring out how to hold the baby. He's never going to hold the baby before that, let alone change a diaper. Like, it's kind of a big deal. But he's got a couple other guy friends mm-hmm. that are also single dads that are really encouraging and like, you can do this. Mm-hmm. Just call us if you need. He's got a good support.
Do you guys think that, like, that whole single dad thing, like, oh, in Europe, that just happens? Like, over here. Like,
well, okay, one thing that my jaw dropped when they said this. They're like, what are your plans? Who's going to be taking care of the baby? And he's like, oh, I'm going to just take 6 months off from my recruitment job. As if that's like a thing. Like I think FMLA mm-hmm. is 3 months tops for you to have with your baby. Other countries,
like I think in Canada, it's like they get a year off paternity and maternity leave. Mm-hmm. I might be making that up. I don't know for a fact, but I'm like, would that be?
I know.
Because I got like, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah, I think I took maybe a month off.
Yeah.
And like 6 weeks is like considered really good. If your company gives you 6 weeks, you're like.
Well, I think by law, FMLA is 3 months. Like it can be. Or maybe
well,
not.
I think you can delay up to 3 months. Mm-hmm. Most companies will give you paid leave.
Well, I don't know if you get paid leave. It totally depends. Like if you have disability or there's just all these, it's really hard to be able to take that amount of time off work to be with your child when studies show that is the most important formative years of your child's life. They have more neurodevelopmental growth.
Yeah.
And yet here, they're just like, couple weeks.
Yeah.
Good luck.
No, it's,
I was like, way to go, England.
Plus, it's so expensive to have childcare as well.
Oh.
I mean, so you kind of have to go back to work, then you have to pay.
Unless you live in France where that's paid for.
So and in France, they also get 8 to 10 women after having a baby, get 8 to 10 pelvic floor physical therapy visits.
Just automatically.
Automatically, yeah. It's part of having a baby over there. You go to
you
get your pelvic floor PT, 8 to 10 visits with a therapist after you have a baby paid.
Yep. And then they have actual child care that is paid for. They have like a year off with your child.
This is paid leave. Estonia, you get 86 weeks of paid leave. Then in Bulgaria, you get over 60. In Hungary,
86 weeks?
In Bulgaria, you get over 60.
Years.
In Bulgaria, you get about 70. In Hungary, you get about 70. In Japan, you get like 62. In Lithuania, you get like 62. Austria, you get
now
like
I want to know what they pay in taxes.
Slovakia, you get around 50. Yeah. So
probably about the same.
And Norway, you get, 50 almost a year. Slovenia, you get about a year. Germany, you get just under a year. Czech Republic, Finland, Sweden, all of those guys are well over 40 weeks. And, the USA, you get zero.
Yeah. No, you don't. You are not guaranteed paid leave. If you have like a disability insurance or you have sick pay through your work, then you can take those, but you don't get paid at all. It's not
Homer. That's where I went. Homer.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. No wonder why we have like all sorts of fun mental health disorders here.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah, because we just go.
Well, we're considering ourselves a country that is
on top of taking care of
business
and ourselves. Well, we do take care of business, not people, though.
Yeah.
There's a difference. Businesses are well taken care of.
Well, Leo has actually bought his childhood home from his parents and is like has these great plans to raise Alice
in a nice quaint neighborhood.
This is
Hope Cove.
Oh, that's an adorable name.
Yeah, and it's on the ocean. Yeah. And then he's got these two good childhood friends who also are parents.
Uh-huh. Living on the little
single dad parents too. Mm-hmm. How is that?
It's convenient for the story.
Okay, yeah. I was about to
it's
say,
not
like,
probably realistic, but
I mean, and they're single in all different ways.
Yes. One of them has like a 14-year-old or 11-year-old daughter.
11-year-old daughter. Hugh has an 11-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
And we're not really sure about the mom. She lives in France and is not very connected.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's France.
Yeah.
It might be.
Yeah, that sounds all right.
And then Damien has two twin sons. I'm not sure how old they are, but
they live primarily with mom, though.
Yes. They'll come and visit him.
Okay, then. So that makes more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
they're all dating too. Like they're all in different phases of relationships or not.
I believe that there's two other stories that are about them. If anyone wants to continue the
Oh, that's right. This is part of a series.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's
so I think there's a book about Hugh and there's a book about Damien.
Okay.
And you know, it's kind of this Hope Cove.
I even wrote that this is called the Singles Dads Club. Singles Dads Club. I forgot that it was called It Takes a Village. I retitled it.
Oh.
So I'm like, It Takes a Village. That's like a whole different book we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. So I didn't like the title.
it does It Takes a Village because, you know, there's this, they go to this little coffee shop, that a woman, Verity owns, and she's like a real motherly figure too. Mm-hmm. And, Scarlett is Verity's niece and she's like a really funny girl.
She's got autism.
Yes, she
does. And so she doesn't get like nuances. Like,
no, she doesn't.
And she just says it like it is. And I'm like, I actually really like that.
I know. As a waitress, she's, you know, doesn't get it. Like Americans are in the cafe and they say, we could use a gallon of coffee.
So she gets a gallon of coffee.
Yeah. There you go.
But she's also really good with babies. Or, you know, so
she's got a big heart.
Yeah, yeah. Whenever they are at the cafe, she's, you know, holding Alice. And
which that, I don't know. That doesn't match for me entirely. That didn't seem like it made sense, but whatever.
Well, so Caitlin and Leo really kind of are obviously connecting at this first visit. And they
both realize, like, she's never been to the beach and he's never been to, like, some national park. And she's like, I live at the national park. And he's like, well, I live at the beach. They're like, well, we have to show each other, which is kind of cute.
It is cute. So, you know, and like I said, he has time off because he's, you know, with Alice on paternity leave. And she has 2 weeks off because she was going to take a vacation with her sister to Venice, I believe. And it was going to be the special trip because they had spent a wonderful vacation there when they were children. They're going to revisit like these special places.
Oh, that's so cute.
But Tessa, Caitlin's sister, she cancels because her new boyfriend is
he's
awful. He's awful.
He's very controlling.
Mm-hmm.
And
he didn't want Tessa and Caitlin to actually be together on this trip. He wanted to do it.
But makes sense because he's such an asshole that, like, the things that he does later on, you'll be like, oh, I understand why he was paranoid about her, like, cheating on him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because
he's kind of a douchebag.
Yeah.
And
so Caitlin is also at odds with her sister.
Mm-hmm.
So
they kind of have a falling out.
Yeah. She kind of, you know, her sister her best friend. And then she has these 2 weeks off.
Yes.
So they kind of are hiking. They're going to the beach. She takes him to her family's. Her dad has like.
Sorry, I just turned my phone up because I beeped a couple times. I'm sorry.
That phone.
Her dad has a botanical garden. It's called Fast Rabbit Farm. And she takes him there, and he meets the family and everyone. So I have to say, too, is they are just friends at this point. They've said, we're only going to be friends because it's too weird.
For her to be dating her best friend's father of her newly born baby. I don't know. That goes kind of against girl code.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those 2 weeks, I'm surprised she just didn't take him. You know, her sister's vacation fell through.
I would have just gone to Venice by myself.
Yeah. Or just spend time with her best friend, so I'm sure this is a hard time for her best friend.
But her best friend was not really talking to her. She was super short with her. She was, like, not wanting her to be in her life.
Her best
She's
friend.
Really pushing her
well,
away.
Well, because of her history, the best friend, it makes sense that she comes up.
Yeah. And so we find out, too, that actually Caitlin invites him to her sister's birthday. And it's kind of weird because he's like, oh, sure, I'll go. But once again,
he's like, there's going to be cake.
Yes.
Yes, that's a good reason to go.
He likes her family, you know, so he's like, yeah, well, I'll go.
Yeah.
And Caitlin has a kind of a reason because she's like, I just want to leave quick. I want to go in and get out.
Well, she doesn't like being around her sister's boyfriend because he's a super major. Did I say he's a douchebag yet?
Yeah.
I mean, do you really feel this?
Like, I do. Okay. I do. Don't like him.
So we find out that at this little birthday get together, Caitlin goes into the kitchen to get some tea because she's a little frustrated. She's just given her sister a spa day with her as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And then this Jack, the boyfriend, is like, makes it about him. He's like, that'll be so fun for us to go. Which leaves Caitlin in this place where, like, wait, what I
no,
meant
you ruined my
us.
Trip to Venice.
Yeah.
Now you're ruining our spa day. You're ruining everything.
Yeah. She's
did I say he's terrible?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when it's like, oh, we can go to the spa together. And then, like, not you. Here's a spa day for you for
boys
two.
Boys don't go to spas.
No.
I'm kidding.
But she's really frustrated. And so she just kind of leave the situation. She goes in to make some tea. And who follows her in there? But Jack.
Yeah.
And he's being a little more friendly than just...
Friendly.
A friend.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't he kiss her?
I think he gets really close and is like, the personal space stuff is weird.
I swear to you that he kissed her there.
I thought he kisses her like long before. That's why there's
He had kissed her before.
Yes. So she and Leo walks in this little uncomfortable moment.
He understands
what happened. He gets it.
Mm-hmm.
So later, they're on the way home, and he keeps saying, "Is everything okay?" And she's like, "It's fine. It's fine." And he really knows that it's not fine. So he drops her off, and she's like, "I gotta go." And he's like, he keeps pressing, "Are you sure you're okay?" And then he says, "Let me. I have to use the bathroom," because it's like his way to come in and like really. Give her another opportunity. Yes. So she does tell him that she's so uncomfortable, but it helps that he says that guy Jack is a jerk. I can tell, you know, the way he manipulated that situation with the spa day and he knows about the trip.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you know, I think he's a real jerk, which like lets her feel like she can confide in him.
Absolutely.
And so when she tells Leo that when Tessa and Jack were starting to date, Jack came to the farm to help her because she'd asked Tessa. Tessa couldn't go, so Jack goes to the farm to help her. And he kisses her.
Oh,
and then says to her, "It's okay. You know, this will be really fun. You
yeah,
know,
or,
basically
or
have a little relationship."
Your sister's that.
And Caitlin's puts a kibosh on that. She's like, "Absolutely not." And I'm going to tell my sister. So she's trying to like organize her thoughts. Takes a day.
Did she actually tell her sister?
No, he does. He tells her sister
that
it was
her. She kissed him.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which that's why Tessa and Caitlin are.
I must
at
have
odds.
Like tuned out at that moment.
You're so pissed.
Because I hate him more now. That happened to me.
I
not that exact thing, but like my best friend at the time, like her boyfriend, was like, hey, she was gone. And he's like, hey, I want to date you. And I was like, well, that's not how this works because, you know, my best friend is dating you. And that just is never going
to
happen.
And her best friend was out of town and he sent him over to their friend.
Yeah. And so when she got back to town, he's like, oh my gosh, we have to break up. Lisa just won't leave me alone.
Oh.
And I'm
Bugger,
like,
what a
so
jerk.
She thought that I was like trying to steal her boyfriend. And I'm like, no, that's not at all what happened. But she believed him.
Well, because
it kind of ruined our friendship. Yeah.
And they were living together. They were roommates.
We shared a room. We were 6 feet apart sleeping, you know? Oh,
that's you started remembering that as you were.
Yeah, it's like, oh. Well, I must have skipped that part in my
PTSD blocking.
I've just been doing a lot lately, you know, and sometimes I'm listening while I'm doing things, and I miss major things. So, wow, I hate him more.
Yeah. But it's kind of at this point, too, that they realize that they really do have more of a connection than just friends.
Mm-hmm.
And since Caitlin really hasn't heard from Bethany for a long time, they decide to take it a little further and become not friends. And it works. They're really cute together. They enjoy each other's company and they're, you know, and Caitlin loves Alice and it's all looking good until Caitlin goes back to work and Bethany's there and she feels really
the guilt comes on her. Yeah.
Because then Bethany wants to be friends again. Like Bethany
had her chill time. She's like, okay.
Understandably. I think Bethany's like alone in this country. Like she doesn't really have anyone but the people at work and the other person at work. Cause it's a small little office.
Jan.
She's like a 30-year-old stuck in a 60-year-old's like personality.
Yeah.
So they just don't get along with her very well.
Yeah, she's just basically a figurehead in the office, you know, the manager. And Bethany and Caitlin are, you know,
friends.
Yeah, they're in their mid-20s, I think, right?
Yeah, 23, 24.
Yeah.
So, and Bethany wants to kind of pick up where they left off and do all the things they used to do. You know, they'd go to
dancing,
offer drinks after and, you know, do regular things.
Yeah.
And Caitlin's just not there.
Caitlin's moving into I'm kind of surrogate mom role. Mm-hmm. And
I can't imagine dating a single dad with a child because I haven't done it yet.
Yes.
I say that not gonna happen. I don't have that what it takes. I don't because
been there, done that.
Yeah, but we're not married in our 20s.
Yeah, I have raised children. Can't go back.
Mm-hmm.
I love the phase that they are in right now, and to go back to like diapers and being up all night and having to, my kids make meals, you know, like.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh.
I can't imagine cooking again.
Oh, Corbin made us all meatball sandwiches the other night.
Oh, that's right. He did.
Yes.
Valerie helped me build some furniture.
Yeah. and Corbin made dinner.
He was down there making dinner. Yeah, it's great. Yeah, but, I mean, Valerie knows what it's like.
I do.
Oh, yeah.
Back to the 3, 4, 5-year-old. Yeah. It's definitely like, I love it the second time around because I'm like, oh, yeah, that's not a big deal. This is a big deal.
Yeah, you don't
like,
have to freak out about it.
Yeah. It's a lot more mellow. You're a lot more like, you don't take it as personally, you know, because you're just like, oh, yeah. Okay.
Yes, and even that first child, you're so worried about everything.
Oh, yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
Well, somebody was like, if you have a child in your 20s, you're going to be hyperactive and hyperattentive and have a lot of energy. If you have a child in your 40s, you'll be very patient, but you won't have a lot of energy. But if you have a child in your 30s, like,
It's the prime time.
It's the prime time. And I was like, oh, that was always what I wanted. But, you know, didn't work out that way.
You just like, wait, I did it right?
You did it right?
I did it right.
I had the, like, I was just crazy. I was a mess.
No
patience.
It's hard. Yeah. It's hard. Well, in our situation, because, you know, our little guy's bouncing. And so it's more hard just transitioning. Like, he's great to be with, but he's an only child too. So, like, there's a difference between an only child and, like, I raised two kids together, you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you have two kids. And so, like,
To entertain each other.
Like, I'm fostering a kitten because, you know, I just found that kitten. And so I've been up all night bottle feeding the kitten for the past 2 weeks. And so I know as we love cats.
Well, I'm just thinking up all night, not for me. No.
Yeah. And I'm finally getting past that stage a little bit. But, you know, it's the same thing. I'm like, oh no, I'm falling in love with this kitten and I don't really want a kitten. And I'm like, if I get another cat, then I want to get a second kitten to be a playmate to this first one because I'm like, I don't want to feel guilty if we want to go out of town for the weekend. I want to be able to put cat feeder timer, two kitty litter boxes out. See you later.
Oh, you can't do that with dogs.
I know you can't, but cats you can.
Yeah. There's so many other things you can't do with cats, though. But this is why we have these battles.
We send each other memes.
Cats suck.
It's true that we were also neighbors, like, and my cat Apollo was the biggest ass to her dogs. Like, yeah. Like I almost bought them a super soaker to spray my cat.
Oh, we have one. Did you see it by the window?
Because I remember you guys asking me permission. I'm like, yeah, I'd go over there and do it myself.
Oh, yeah.
That was a total douche to your dogs.
Oh, yeah, we did.
She would jump up on their windowsill when the dogs were trapped inside and walk back in for across their
You can never have this. You can never have this.
She wants it. She wants it. Oh,
such a tease.
But me and Katie were like probably just going nuts. Geez.
Oh, it's so bad.
At one point, Petey like jumped at the window and like fell to the ground because he was like trying to.
And then my cat is so fat that you know goes to try to look at stuff falls off.
Yeah, there were wars.
That Apollo was definitely the world revolves around me cat.
That's true.
It's very true. We go into the school across the street. The kids knew
during school.
Yeah, if it wasn't recess time and they weren't there to pet him, and the door was open, he would walk into the elementary school and find kids in the classrooms to pet him.
So they finally just go, okay, we know whose cat this is.
Everybody in the school knew. Like it wasn't. Oh, that's you know that's Kyle and Avery's house. You know my kids' house. It's like, oh, that's where Apollo lives.
Oh my gosh.
Whereas Aries, the kitten that we got at the same time that we got Apollo.
Oh, Aries was sweet.
Was the best cat ever. Yeah. Was a great cat. Yeah. Apollo was a jerk. Beautiful. Apollo, before Apollo got really fat, was
gorgeous. Oh my gosh. That's funny. Yeah.
He turned into a whole Garfield.
But yes, cats, a lot of work. Just like, well, having one child.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot more work.
It's a lot more work. And so
no one to entertain them except for their parents.
Exactly. So that's the difference between this.
Or you have to do constant play dates.
Well, and that's a hard thing too, because I don't get as much. But I mean, like, you know, I took over the neighborhood. Well, we all became friends because of our kids, really.
Oh, yeah.
I fell in love with you at mom's group, and I fell in love with you at swim lessons.
Oh, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
there we go.
I know.
It's what happens with kids.
You know, you create a lot of social networks.
Well, and I, yeah. You know, it's so
pointed that out
too,
when she was little. She was like, you only have friends because of me, Mom.
Oh.
We also met in Zumba. So.
That's right. We met in Zumba before. Right?
Yeah, we also met in Zumba. One time you and I just started becoming friends. There's like three tall, skinny, beautiful, dark-haired brunettes that would, you know, pop in and out of Zumba. One time I thought one of them was Lisa, and it was, and I went up and smacked her ass. I was like, oh, you're not Lisa. She's like, no.
But I can change my name and be Lisa if you want me to be.
Well, she didn't say that. She was awesome though. She was a cool person. I just had this fantasy for a second.
So Bethany really wants to recreate their old friendship,
yeah,
but it's not going to happen because Caitlin is in a whole other space at this point. So she also feels like she can't have a relationship with Leo and work with Caitlin. So she kind of tells Leo that she's going to have to take a break, maybe.
Yeah, makes sense.
You know, it's like just not going to.
Yeah.
She feels too guilty about
it. But they've only been dating 2 weeks. Like, come on.
But then also at the same time, there were a lot of other things that she just was like, I don't know if I can handle being in a relationship with somebody whose world revolves around someone that's not me.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Which is a big part, I think, of just dating in general. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, I thought it was always the other way around. Like, because you hear about that, like, when a single mom is dating, like, their boyfriends expect their world to just revolve around them. Mm-hmm. And so the kids often, I mean, they can go neglected because the boyfriends are so needy. Mm-hmm. But I was like, never thought about it the other way around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And maybe that's not always the case. That's certainly not always the case, but it's pretty commonly happens.
A fair thing to say. I don't think there's anything wrong with just saying we didn't create this together. This isn't our project. This is your project. Mm-hmm. And I'll help out with it and support it, but I don't want it to be everything.
Mm-hmm. So she's got some real concerns about the relationship anyway.
Yeah.
So she kind of like, we just need to take the, maybe just not
maybe a little breather.
Yeah.
And at the same time, Alice gets really sick and has to go to the hospital. And it's kind of a scary thing for Leo. And he doesn't really know who to call.
Yeah.
And he's got his friends, but the nurse suggests that he call the mom. So he calls Bethany and lets her know. And Bethany does go to the hospital, but once again, she's like, I don't want to be part of this.
Yeah, that's why I signed up on this.
Mm-hmm. So, and I've got to say, this is what pissed me off about the book, because we're getting close to the end of the book, right, at this point. And the entire book, I'm like, why? What is this big secret? Why? Because they played it off like, oh, it's something super secret that you can't know, why she doesn't want to keep her child. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that I'm like, why wouldn't a mother ever want to keep her child? It's just the way they wrote it in the book. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's a big secret. You can never know. And I'm like, but this is the most important question I want to have answered.
Yes.
I want to understand it.
Yeah.
And they just drew it out forever. And it made me pissed.
No, I totally get it.
I need to know this information.
Yeah.
Well, because if this is a love story, then that information is part of the setup, not part of
But to me, it the made resolution. The book, I'm like, the whole book, I'm like, I want it to be about Bethany. I want to understand her. Mm-hmm. But yet I'm supposed to be caring about a love story when all I want to know is why, Bethany? Like, why? Because they made that such a big secret.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but that's not what this book was supposed to be about. So anyway, sorry. I just had to interrupt and say what?
I think we all felt that. We were very frustrated with Bethany and why she was making this decision. You know, absolutely, a mother can make that choice and it's okay. But we wanted to know why.
Well, and also, I think, I mean, it's very generous of her to be like, oh, I'm pregnant and I'm not, you know, I don't want to have a child right now for whatever reason or whatever.
Yeah, and that's totally fine.
Totally cool for her to, oh, okay, I'll give it up for adoption.
Yeah.
And then totally cool when the dad says, oh, I'd like it.
Yeah.
To be like, okay, you can have it.
But I want to just point out a little flaw of myself here, because like the whole, I was kind of mad about that. I was like, I want to know why she doesn't want to have anything to do with her child. And yet, like, she gave it up to adoption and obviously knew who she's adopting it to. And obviously, in the future, this child will be a part of her life under those circumstances. Like,
oh, yeah.
There's no way you're not going to be. But, like, why should a mom have to explain that? You know what I mean? Why should they? Because no man ever has to explain that.
Oh, yeah.
Why they don't want the child to be a part of their life. But we do as, like, yeah. Why do we expect to know? Mm-hmm. Why is it so important to understand that?
So
that's a good point.
I don't know. I was like, what's my deal?
Okay.
But I really wanted to know.
Okay, this is not so crazy and it's not comparable, but to me it is a little bit. So just ride the roller coaster.
Roller coaster.
So the kitten.
Okay.
I almost killed this cat because they got blocked off underneath my house.
And we're
back to the cat. I know. And so, you know, nursing it back to health, like it was supposed to die. And then it.
I would have let it die.
I know.
I'm kidding.
Like, circle of life. And yes, there's like 40 stray cats around my house. And so, like, one more is really probably, yeah, I getcha.
They're really cats, though. They really are. It's a good texture. Are they beautiful cats
or are they pretty kittens? Because there's a difference.
No, they turn into really beautiful
cats. They do, except for the long-haired ones get natty, and then they look kind of haggard half the time.
Oh, I like the kind of cats where their face looks smashed in.
Oh, we have some of those.
Those are hanging around? They are stupid, but they're
cute.
The
brown ones. Oh, yeah. They really are. I stole a few more of those kittens and got into the pound.
Okay. Not that I'm going to get them, you know.
But no, so this one, you know, so because like it needed extensive care and I could sit in cutaneous IV and if it needed and all that jazz and what stuff. So I ended up fostering it. And now because it's that mothering instinct, because I've had this kitten for 2.5 weeks and it's all, you know, I've got another week and I've got to give it up or keep it. It's so hard because I'm like, I really don't want a cat right now. But because I've nurtured it and loved it and nursed it back to health and been its playmate and got it alive again after almost killing it.
You're really invested.
I'm so invested in it. I think it's that female, you know, that
nurturing
obligation, you know, like kind of like that, oh,
yeah.
You know,
well, it's so much easier for a man because they don't carry the child for 9 months growing in their body.
Yeah.
They don't
go
through the trauma of birthing it. Mm-hmm. They don't have to then keep it alive by nursing.
So there's not built-in nurturers
and caregivers. It's not the same. It's just different.
I think that's why.
But I'm not saying that men can't be.
No,
absolutely.
In this book, it's just...
I think that it's like more built in, like genetically or whatever.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why we don't question why a man could just walk away.
We still call him a dick, but what a dick. You know, but we don't question his entire entity as a human being. Like, why cannot function? Do I understand why? You know, why
a woman doesn't have that nurturing
instinct?
Should we say why she does what she does, or do we want to keep that?
Here's the thing. That's not what the story was about, and yet that's all my brain wanted to know the whole time.
So maybe if we say, then anyone who wants to read this book will have that in
it. Doesn't impact the love story.
It doesn't. It has nothing to do with it, and yet that's all I wanted to know.
Caitlin does come to the hospital because Bethany tells her. She's like, I'm kind of the next day at work. Bethany expresses that she's a little, you know, emotional because she'd gone to the hospital to see Alice and she's sick and she looks so with all these tubes and then Caitlin is suddenly like, how come she's kind of pushing Bethany to say, like, why aren't you there?
Why aren't you more
invested in this? Mm-hmm. She goes, and then she kind of lets it slip, not totally, but Bethany catches on because Caitlin is concerned and she leaves work immediately to go to the hospital. Bethany gets it. She's like, I know who your new boy toy is. I have a feeling. So Caitlin does go to the hospital. And, you know, in a way, she's she shows that she's concerned and she does love Alice, but she's still not, we're not sure that she's going to really make that.
Yeah.
Do you think make it work. That Caitlin needs Bethany's blessing to be able to pursue Leo?
I do.
Like, and if she didn't get her blessing, that it never could have happened.
Yeah.
I think that I would work that
way.
I would work that way. Yeah. If let's say
100%.
I couldn't I wouldn't have slept with him without the blessing. That's me. I just feel like that.
But would you have kissed him?
I probably would have. I'm a lip slut. I probably would have.
So you don't agree with Pretty Woman?
So she, Bethany, we'll just kind of leave the story at that. They're sort of...
Will she get her blessing?
Yes.
Will she be able to pursue this relationship?
Alice recovers. They go home. Yeah. And then...
Does Bethany step up to the plate?
Leo's parents come to help him. And the last person Leo expects comes to the door, which is Bethany. Mm-hmm. And she does tell him why she is being the way she is. Mm-hmm. And so instead of being mad at her, he understands and has a lot more sympathy for why she gave the baby up. And it's because she grew up with a single mom. And the single mom was really busy and didn't have a lot of time.
And resented her. For, taking her life away from her.
Yeah. So she grew up feeling like she wished she had... Well, the mom says one day, I wish you had been adopted. Or I wish...
Yeah, I wish you were never born.
Yeah, I wish you were never born. And so then in Bethany's brain, she kind of works up this whole scenario of being in... She wished she would have been adopted to... Two loving people who then she had a house and a yard and, everything that actually she is seeing Alice has. So Bethany can now also step back. But she was really wanted to have her baby adopted because she's like, I do not feel like I can be a good mom.
So this brings up another little
question. And I think that all would have been how she was always. I don't think she ever wanted to have children because she was... kind of so damaged from that.
Yeah. So here's a question for you too, though. I mean, this, now knowing her background, that's extra kind of her to actually let the dad have it. Because here's your thing. If her dream for a child would be that the child would be in a two-parent home, so it wouldn't be in a single situation. The fact that she saw him asking and wanting it so much that she gave that dream up for the love of her baby because she saw that this man was somebody who was demonstrating that he actually wanted the child. And so, that was pretty big of her because she could have just been like, I'm not going to tell you about it. And I'm going to make sure that this baby gets to go to a two-parent home because the two-parent home has a higher success rate for children. Mm-hmm. And so I could totally understand. I know that this came up, before, and I don't know if you guys want to talk about it, but the reason why they had the tiff.
Yes, that was where my brain was going.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
But he didn't always understand why Bethany and Caitlin had that big fallout. It was, Caitlin had really thought that it was appropriate for her to share with the father of the child that she was pregnant. Mm-hmm. And that he needed to be aware and have a somewhat of a choice in that situation. And I'm like, that's a really tough one. I wish I could remember the name of this movie because it was one of those movies that just really made me think differently about adoption and the male's role. It was, one of the gals on Saturday Night Live played the main character. She was like a stand-up comedian and she had a one-night stand. But then because she got pregnant, they kind of had a relationship. And I was like, is this going to be what's that Seth Rogen movie?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Not Superbad.
Yes.
Knocked Up. Yeah, yes. I'm like, this is going to be another form of Knocked Up, But it ended up being like, wow, does the man get to have a choice in what the woman decides to do with the baby? Mm-hmm. Well, and they kind of played that out in the movie. It was so
even good. Right down to, like, you know, if she gets pregnant, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. now abortion wasn't on the table in this discussion, you know, but that's
it,
was, still
it didn't seem to be right.
Yeah, it didn't.
And it was interesting because I would have liked for them, like, I think religion plays a big part of that. Mm-hmm. And they didn't really give us any information about that.
On why that was the choice. Which,
yeah.
which is fine and everything like that too. So, you know, the choices that were presented, because I think they didn't want to make the movie about that.
Or they didn't want to make the book about that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, the book about that.
Yeah.
But the choices, you know, presented were, okay, not tell the dad or tell the dad. And I can totally mm-hmm. understand if her experiences on not wanting to raise a child were all based upon single parenthood.
I
wouldn't want to tell the dad either. And if she's willing to go through all of the experiences and trauma of carrying and having this baby, mm-hmm. so this baby could have a life and, you know, have a better life than what she had by her giving it up, I could totally see her not necessarily being obligated to let the guy know that, hey, this is here, because he would be a single parent too. So I don't know.
Unless he was in another relationship.
Unless he was in another relationship, but it wouldn't have been a very long relationship, because he'd find out 3 months after having had sex with her, unless he was in a long-term relationship and cheating on her.
Which, okay, I'm kind of a fan.
What?
Of, what's his butt? I'm going to say the name's wrong. I know Tom Brady.
Oh.
And gosh. Chris,
Tom's girlfriend or boyfriend?
Because he was, before he married supermodel lady, he was married to an actress and they had a child together. And I think that he had just started marrying supermodel lady. I can't say her name.
I can't. Yeah.
Anyway, so, but at that, they just started dating for a couple of months and then they found out that his ex was pregnant.
Yes.
I didn't know the story.
Yeah. So yeah. They worked through it. I don't know how they worked through it. I think she even has a memoir out. Huh. So you could probably read about it and find out more juicy details. But I was like, wow, you know, there's an example of somebody that figured out how to make that work.
Yeah, totally.
Because I don't know if I could.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would have a really hard time with that.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, what do you guys do? Yeah. How realistic do you think this book is? I mean, I think it was pretty realistic. You know, all the way they meet.
Realistically, would they have ever gotten together and met up?
Yeah. In the U.S.,
I think the whole concept of men raising the children, you know, and the maternity leave makes, for our culture, I think it's a little bit. I don't see
we
three
don't
guys
have paternity
having that.
Leave.
Yeah, we don't have those things. I felt kind of bad for men.
What would
they
have? I mean, it's under FMLA.
Yes.
So whether you're a man or a woman. Like,
yeah, but yeah, you don't get
it would fall under that. And we don't get paid time
for
off
women, so it's
for men or women.
Yeah, exactly.
So in
everyone's
the U.S.,
really
it just, it's just really hard to have children.
Yeah, you have babies. Well,
you have to have enough money or enough flexibility in your job.
After you've paid all your medical bills, yeah.
And if you have enough money to have the baby and pay for the baby, your insurance is so much because you're a green-aged woman that you can't actually,
We sold a car to pay for Owen.
That's awesome.
We were so surprised at how much it was.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No kidding. Yeah, it's freaking expensive.
Well, I think
both of my kids were in the NICU.
Mm-hmm.
We got slapped with like a tremendous bill, but so I was at a different stage in life. Like we were both in college, just barely scraping by. Mm-hmm. So we were able to be on Medicaid and that helped us so much. But fast forward, if it had happened 10 years later, it would have been really, really hard.
We would have sold a car like us. Yeah,
exactly.
You would have
had to sell my car.
You
maybe
both
a kidney.
Would have had to, you
if you
had,
can't,
it would
I don't
have
think
bankrupted
you.
It would have bankrupted you both because,
because I had a child that needed
it. Was
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like Heather, she, like when she had her, I don't want to say names, I'm sorry, but we have a friend who had to move to Seattle for her child to get the correct care that he needed. Yeah. So basically everything she just
Had to give it all up.
Walked away from her life so she could get the Medicaid, so her kid could get the heart surgery he needed. And she had to live a year away from everything in order to be near the doctors the kid needed to be by. And I mean, and she did it beautifully. And she has so much grace.
What a great little guy he is, too.
Oh,
you know.
Which is wild. So amazing. Which is wild because, like, other countries, like, they wouldn't have gotten a heart transplant. The baby would have died. You know, like, so on that hand, it's like, oh, we're stuck in the middle.
He was like the $1 million baby. Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure. But.
Well, here we are at how long.
Realistic. It was very realistic.
Yeah, I think so too. How long will this relationship last? I put 25 to life.
Oh, that's so cute.
Lisa.
Okay. And Lisa.
I mean, I really got to think about this. What's the scale again? I don't have it in front of me, so I have to look at it. Because you know me, I have to think about it.
One night, one week, no, just using.
Oh, yeah, there's it.
Oh, 1 day, 3 months, 2 years, 7 years, 25 to life.
Well, let's think about the time of life that Kayla's been. She's 24 years old.
Yeah.
How many 24-year-olds are ready to become stepmoms?
Not a lot, but maybe she seems to be ready. She seems to be.
Maybe.
Well, I mean, that is the major thing she has to be able to overcome to decide whether or not she wants to be Leo. And she's really thinking about it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So at 24, I was done having kids at 24. So, but let me tell you, they made me grow up real fast. Mm-hmm. But they were my kids. Mm-hmm. You know, you do what you got to do. I think if you can walk away from something that you don't want to take on and you want to have a different life for yourself, because she really is honestly contemplating that. Do I want to raise someone else's child?
Well, and not only that, like, if you're going to do that, I hate to say it, then she's probably going to rush her relationship that she, you know, they're probably going to rush the relationship and she'll get pregnant and they'll just do all their babies at the same time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I would do.
That's what I would do too. But then that's putting the relationship.
But does she want to have kids at 26 or whatever, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what she has to
say. I mean, she'll be very impatient.
Yeah.
Impatient.
How old is dad? I mean,
I think he's about the same age.
I thought he was like 28.
Yeah.
Like
so he's like 4 years older.
Yeah, yeah. Like right around that age.
That's it. Like 28 is.
I mean, that's a sensible.
Yeah, that's a sensible age.
Yeah, yeah. And what is he doing? Like he's taking more time off work to be a surfing instructor or something.
No, that was his friend.
Oh, that's his friend. What is he doing? Because he was going to extend his time off too. I thought it was to help him out. I don't remember.
Damien, his friend, owns like a surf shack where he does lessons. Yeah. And the mother of his twin boys, I can't remember exactly, but he was going to have the boys more often. So he was going to take more time off
to be with his boys.
And he said, I think he hired somebody to help.
Oh, I thought he was going to have Leo help him. So Leo was going to take more time off of his recruitment job or whatever. I might have made that up.
I think you did.
You know how I do that.
You should be a writer.
I rewrite stories all the time.
Maybe they were saying that they would help. They could help each other over something. But.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I still haven't answered that question. I'm really torn. I mean, I could say I think they might make it.
Okay.
Maybe 7 years. Yeah. I don't hesitate to say 25 to life.
Ever the skeptic.
I would say circumstances being what they are, I would probably say 2 years.
What? 2 years?
Yeah.
Because I think if she doesn't get pregnant and, you know, and basically just take over in that family and just decide this is it, then she'll just be like, you know what? I'm still young enough that I can.
And she is still young enough.
I think she's going to be invested emotionally with Alice that she wouldn't do that. I think that's why I said 25.
Alice will still fringely be in her life. I mean, this is something realistically, like, you guys, it's not like they've known each other for years and years and years. We're talking like
Two weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, a month by the time the story concludes.
Mm-hmm. So to give up every, I mean, like, yeah.
You to give up your entire future.
Like, I've done that, but.
But you knew what you were getting into. She has no idea.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Oh. Well, how spicy. It was like a
2 years.
Green pepper. So you're doing 2 years, 2 years. I do 25 to life.
They're very likely to have met up. 2 years, they'll make it.
She'll be like really nice and she'll be okay. But I think that it'll be a persona that she's putting on and not really where she's at.
Yeah, I don't think she's that mature yet.
Okay.
How spicy was
it? It was not very spicy at all. It was a green pepper.
For sure.
Which is, you know, after reading this book, I realized there are things that I like in a romance novel. Yeah. The billionaires, that was too much sex. I like a little more than
it was great right. sex. It was kind of whiny girl sex.
Oh, it was just, it was just, this whole story was too rough.
So I liked this story because of just the ideas that it centered around, like the challenges that like single dads have to face or that a mom that has to give up a child has to face. Like it makes you think about those things a little bit more. But did it make me think about romance? Not at all, 0%. It could have been about anything else and it would have been a great book.
Yeah.
Like, so it's a romance novel that wasn't much of a romance novel.
Yeah. Which is fine. I actually liked that part. Oh my gosh. What is your favorite line?
I did not have one.
Yeah, they didn't have like any great lines, but I did think that there was one part that was towards the beginning of the book. And I think that this is why I think this book matters, why I think it's somewhat engaging and why I care about characters. Because one of Leo's first like fears was like one of the first nights he was up with the daughter. And he's like thinking to himself, how am I going to explain to Alice why Bethany didn't want to keep her? I think like that's such a real thing that he's going to have to face someday in his life. And that's going to be a really hard one. And I think that that's something that probably never goes away for kids.
Mm-hmm. I think this situation, it was genuinely love.
It was. Mm-hmm. It was. We didn't know that at the time. Mm-hmm. And I think he needed to be told that.
Yes, absolutely.
But I don't know that that's going to make it any less painful for Alice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. It's still hard.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah. Would we recommend this book to anyone? Random guys at the grocery store, your lover, your grandma, your sister?
I'd recommend it to anyone. I think it really
I don't think there's anything that's offensive about it.
I mean, I think a man would like reading it. I mean, generally, I don't think, you know, if men like romance, but I think it's a good,
from a male's perspective.
Yeah. Sorry. I don't know what Petey's doing over here.
He's breathing heavy.
Buddy on the other side.
They must be. They're like, okay, the dogs are on the other side of the door, like, snuffing at each other.
He's in the air with us and Buddy on the other side.
Oh, gosh, well, he goes at the door and Buddy just starts barking.
Yes. It is all over.
We're not opening the door. Yes. He's our good dog.
Well, that was a fun book to read. I like it. Yeah.
Thanks, ladies.
Yeah.
And
make sure to like it.
Like, rate, review.
Like us, rate, review, all that good stuff. We have a website, myperfectromance.com. So go check it out, and then you can find links. You can send us your love stories.